podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hi everyone, this is Paz from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. You are listening to the Q&A. If you'd like to watch us live, we stream every Friday over on YouTube. Just search for Fantasy Football Scout. Thanks for listening. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the proper Q&A ahead of Game Week 2. None of this Gianni Bettici from Fest nonsense. We've got the Queen of FPL herself back in the room. It's Sam. How are you, Sam?
I'm really well, thank you. This is a nice introduction. Like, what's going on?
I always try and give you a nice introduction, don't I? I these are my favourite part of the week, so I've got to be nice to...
Do you know, I've really missed this.
Yeah, it's been a while, isn't it?
It's been ages.
End of what, mid-May or something? End of May when we last did one of these?
Yeah, probably was, wasn't it? Because, did we do it? Although we did do a couple of streams together when the game was launched
we
and
did.
Stuff like that, yeah, didn't we? But not a proper Q&A.
These are our bread and butter right now.
These are. This is the thing we're good at.
Well, I don't know about the advice we give, but yeah, hopefully it's...
Excuse me, we give expert advice.
Relatively entertaining. hi everyone in the chat. There's already 163 people watching. Apologies for being a bit late, it's my fault as usual. Just a reminder, if you want to get your super chats in, Sam and I will answer all of those as best we can. 50% of all money raised from all super chats across all of the Q&A streams will go to Street Child United. There's a link to that in the description below. Essentially, it's helping homeless children around the world have a better life. What can be a better charity to donate to than that? And you can have your FPL questions answered as well. I haven't put our ranks on the screen, Sam. Thought it best not to detract from anything. You know,
it's, what's a rank?
Oh, no, it's meaningless. I've always said
it doesn't matter until at least game week 6. I might start thinking about it, but more likely it'll be like game week 10 before I care where my rank is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not nice to get off to a bad start, is it? I mean, ideally you want to get, you know, be at least in the top million, at least in the top 3 million, at least in the top 5 million after game week 1. But, you know.
But equally, I never start well. My game week 1 is always awful, even in the seasons where I finish really high. Game week 1 for me, always dreadful. Game week 2, normally really good. So, no pressure there, Sam. Got to fix it this week.
Well, hopefully we'll both have a much better game week 2 than game week 1. Hopefully we can still give some advice. That'd be fine. Let's just take some, no super chats yet. Get them coming in. We've got some questions and some nice comments. Paulie G asked, will my internet hold up today? Oh, God, did you see Black Box the other night? Absolute nightmare.
You were watching.
Oh, 4 attempts. With my internet cutting out. And normally my internet is all right. So I don't know what was going on. It reminded me of like Andy North's, you know, or you know, the Yeovil internet. But yeah, it was terrible. Hopefully it'll cut. I'm still plugged into the Ethernet. I've got a cable running like through the wall, down the stairs, into the box. That's, you know,
my hand. The turtle eats it.
Yeah. No, tortoise. He's not a turtle, he's a tortoise.
Oh yeah, sorry.
For God's sake. Yeah. Everyone
They're
calls
highly
it...
different.
Well, turtles can swim. He can't swim. Stick him in a pond. See how he does. He won't be very good. anyway.
Right, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Nirad Sharma. I'm just going to take some normal questions before super chats come in. Good afternoon. Love to... Oh, that's super... new crabs. Nirad asks, ditch United assets after this game week. I mean, you're brave to have United assets, I think, going into game week 1. Do you? Who do you have?
Rashford.
Oh, yeah, what do you make of that? Rumours of PSG, though they've been sort of quashed a little bit.
Well, the thing is that the opening two fixtures looked reasonable for some attacking returns. Brighton and Brentford, I was like, you know, if they're going to score without a striker, surely Rashford's involved. He was nice price point. I was like, it's a good price point to have somebody in the game at. So that was kind of why I went with him. Am I feeling the love? No. Am I slightly concerned about all of this now rumour stuff about PSG and everything else? Yeah, absolutely. But equally, I kind of feel it's not a problem to solve this week. It's probably a problem for next week or a later date anyway. So, yeah, I'm not hugely happy with my decision to have Rashford. But equally, I think if United had scored last week, it looked likely that it was going to come from him, or at least he was going to be involved in it. So that gives me some hope that all is not lost on the Rashford front.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag for United. Brentford next, which, you know, for the attacking assets should be. I think the answer to that question for me is if you've bought in their attacking assets, I wouldn't sell them off the back of one game week.
No, you have to keep.
But defensively, I think they're just really going to struggle. I mean, it's Brentford away next, and then it's Liverpool, and then it's Southampton. Okay, that's a good game. But then it's Leicester, and then it's Arsenal. I expect United to concede in every one of those games. Southampton's probably their best chance of a clean sheet out of those five, but even that, I wouldn't be surprised if Southampton
even
found a way.
With James Ward-Prowse around, though, they could
exactly
score.
So I think United defenders, you know, if you have started one of those, I wouldn't have started one of those anyway, but if you have, then maybe it's time to go. I mean, if you've got Dalot, for example.
Yeah, but then if you've got Dalot, it's not probably a priority transfer.
No, it's probably not, unless he's a starter for you. But
If Dalot is one of your starting defenders, then yes, it probably is a relatively quick transfer out that needs to happen there, because there are better options in that 4.5 bracket.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, if you've taken a punt on Sancho or Rashford, give him another week or two. Brentford, you know, it could be completely different. Brighton, you know, as biased as I am, Brighton are a really good side, and you know, and Brentford did well to get the point against Leicester, but 60 minutes into that, and they look kind of
really
lost.
Well.
Yeah, exactly.
They played really well.
So a different United could turn up. You've got to give them a few more games. Nuclear Atom says good afternoon. Love you. Good afternoon. Definitely not afternoon. Well, maybe it's for Nuclear.
It might be where Nuclear Atom is.
It's normally afternoon when we do these, but we've got a bit early today. Love to have the show back. Ozroid Sam might be too busy with FPL pods. Sam is never around anymore. It's horrible.
I am. Don't say that. I am around.
He's doing the Premier League stuff. You're doing photo shoots. You're off on like the Sky thing tomorrow. You're doing the pods. Got no
What's
time.
What's happening in my life? And I've always got time for you. Yeah, always. I will never not have time for you. But life is a bit mental at the moment. So I'm also off to Legoland next week. So
oh, yeah. Going to Denmark, aren't you?
I'm going to Denmark next week. So, yeah, it's all go in the Bournefield family household. However, always got time for a bit of Q&A action with Az. Always.
Lovely. And our first super chat. Thank you to Naylor, MUFC. Kane and Haaland. Keep Kane. Good fixtures coming. I'm guessing you've got Kane and Haaland. So you're probably three of them, right? Salah, Kane and Haaland, unless you haven't got Salah. You've got Kane and Haaland and... No, you've got Kane and Salah.
Yeah.
Have you
I've got Haaland and Salah.
You made the switch.
I went into the season, I don't know if I told you this at first, but my original intention was to go Kane game week one, Haaland game week two, Kane game week three, and then hold Kane for a few weeks. That was my plan. I planned the hokey-cokey. And then I was worried that if Kane banged against Southampton, I wouldn't want to do the Kane out for Haaland thing for game week two. But obviously he didn't, and he blanked. And for me, in this early part of the season, the key is holding team value, and if you can, increasing it, but certainly not losing it. And so I sold Kane on Sunday night on our live stream, which was quite painful. But for me, that was the right thing to do. I think if you own both, though, I would absolutely hold Kane, because I think the fixtures after this Chelsea game are really nice. Spurs goggles aside, let's look at that game as just an FPL game. Spurs were good and their assets returned well. So yes, Kane didn't get anything in that one, but that doesn't mean that he won't moving forward. It's not like Spurs started really badly at the beginning of the season. You know, if you've invested heavily in Ronaldo, for example, then you probably want to move him on, because United didn't look that good and, you know, there's that moment, isn't there? But with Kane, Spurs looked good. It's not like, you know, he was playing in a team that were playing well, scoring a lot of goals. He's going to get goals. He's going to get returns this season. And the fixtures are really nice after Chelsea. This, I think, I'm slightly worried about the game week two fixture, because we never play very well against Chelsea. They always beat us. But this season, I feel, is our best chance to go out there and kind of put a stake in the ground and show some ambition under Conte. I think we will. So yeah, I think if you've got both Kane and Haaland, then you hold. If you've just got Kane, then there is definitely a conversation to be had about whether you should be moving to Haaland.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things to unpack here. I mean, I'm not entirely sure what Naylor's kind of system is. I mean, I'm guessing if he's got Kane and Haaland, he hasn't got Salah, right? And I think it's pretty clear that Salah and Haaland are the two best premiums to own if you're going to go with the two premiums. I don't think you can argue with that, right? I mean, there's other good options. Son, I think I've got De Bruyne, he's fine. Kane, but if you're going to pick two premiums, right now, you're going to go for Salah and Haaland.
Yeah? I think right now you are, yeah. I think longer term, it might be that you can swap Salah for Nunez and then have a juggle around with the way that your premiums play, depending upon the impact that he has on the Liverpool system.
Would you do that right now, though?
But I wouldn't do it right now. No, I would. I'll be watching what happens in the Crystal Palace game. I think we need to see Nunez start a game. For me, I would want to see him start. If you've got loads of money in the bank and you can get one of your premiums, then fine. But for me, I'd want to see him start a game, the impact that that has on the system, the impact that has on Salah, before I'd even think about not having Salah in my FPL team. So, yeah, Salah and Kane, Salah and Haaland for me, Freudian slip there, are the key premiums right now.
Yeah, and then I think, because like Gianni, for example, has got Kane, Haaland and Salah, so he's got the three. But he's thinking of dropping Kane down because he's got a lot of weak players, because obviously when you've got the three most expensive players, it does harm you quite a lot. So he's thinking of dropping Kane down, but very reluctantly. I guess then that's the argument of, could you drop Salah down instead to Nunez if you've waited a week or two and keep Kane? Because, I mean, the fixtures for Kane are Wolves, Forest, West Ham, Fulham. Really nice run. I mean, Liverpool's are good as well. United, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Everton.
The one thing I would say, though, about both of these is that you've got the cheaper option in both camps, because you've got Kane versus Kulusevski, you've got Salah versus Nunez. And I don't think there's a clear answer yet on Salah versus Nunez. And I'm not sure that there's a clear answer yet on Kane versus Kulusevski, because I do think that there is a possibility going through the next few weeks of this season that you could have Kulusevski and Nunez and deal with not having Salah and Kane in the way that the teams are playing and the way that they're set up.
Yeah, I mean, someone said in a chat the other day that, you know, for Nunez to get 200 points, he's going to need to have an absolutely incredible season. For Salah to not get 200 points, he's going to have his worst season by far for Liverpool. So, I mean, there is a big difference in price between them, obviously.
But we haven't seen Salah and Nunez. We've not really seen Salah play in a team with a player like Nunez in the way that that might affect Liverpool's
exactly.
system. Yeah. And that's the key for me, is that we're not talking about, if they'd signed a direct replacement for Mane and it was just, right, we're going to stick with this system in the way that it is with Diaz, and we're going to sign another Mane-esque player, or not signed anyone at all, and it was just Jota and Diaz and Salah, who were kind of the front three, then it would be a no-brainer on Salah for me all season. But because we're talking about a different player, he's not a Firmino, he's not a Jota, he plays in a very different way to the way that we've seen Liverpool's forward players play in the recent past. We did see Salah go further out when he was playing up front, when he came on in game week one, Salah's position on the pitch slightly moved. So for me, all of that is an up in the air thing now, that we need to see how those cogs work and how Klopp sets up his team and what he tells them to do. So right now it's Salah, but I do think we could have a situation in 2 or 3 weeks' time where we're seeing really good stuff from Nunez. We're seeing still good stuff from Salah. I don't think Salah's ever going to become a complete void, but maybe we can save some budget there. But also maybe we can save some budget by having Kulusevski over Kane. And I think that could absolutely be where we end up.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because like, I've got De Bruyne, for example, and he's the more kind of premium option. So I need him to outscore, you know, Haaland by quite a bit, because I'm for some reason nailing myself to this no Haaland thing, at least for a couple of weeks.
I love it when we go on these things. I will not own that player.
And then people start saying to you, Az doesn't believe in Haaland. It's like, no, I think Haaland's going to probably get a hat trick against Bournemouth, but I'm just hoping that De Bruyne can match it
for a miracle.
Yeah, but then when you look at some of the other teams, I mean, that's a different one though, because the most premium asset at City can't really be matched. Those two, you can't cover them with a Foden or a Mahrez or anyone.
No, exactly.
But Spurs, you could potentially be able to get some points from Kulusevski. You're not saying you can.
Particularly if you double him up with a wing back.
Exactly. I'm still expecting Kane and Son to, you know, outscore Kulusevski by a lot, but you've got to work out how much they've got to outscore them by for that 4 million difference. And it's the same with Nunez and Salah. So, yeah.
I totally agree.
Very interesting. I think, you know, it is an interesting dilemma, I think. And I think Nunez is perfect for the league, because that could be the shake-up that we see in Liverpool. Could be. I mean, I'm keeping faith in Salah for now, but we'll see. We spent a long time on that one. Carlos E., would you bench Trippier or Pereira?
Oh, this is actually the dilemma I'm having.
No way.
This is genuinely where I am. So until I read some news that Leon Bailey might not start, this week, and then that's thrown me out a bit.
Oh, you don't just throw that out. What do you mean he's not going to? Yeah. Who said that?
Well, there was so one of the guys that I follow on social media, he's a Villa fan, and he posted this link to the one of the newspapers in Birmingham, basically saying that Bailey was going to be benched this week after last week's result. So I'm all ears on Neil this afternoon. Let's see what Neil's got to say in team news and whether there's anything. Because if that's the case, then I'm not a problem solved. Because actually, I think whilst I think Brighton are great and I really do like them, I think Trippier's attacking threat means I don't want to bench him against Brighton. Like, I just think that if he doesn't get a clean sheet, then fine. But I think there could be some attacking potential there. So I don't really feel like I want to bench Trippier. But Pereira so impressed me. Honestly, what is ridiculous here is that obviously Haaland impressed me. There's nothing else to say about that. Kulusevski impressed me. But it was Pereira that impressed me the most in game week one. He was the player that I watched and was most excited about. He's 4.5 million. He was on corners. He was on some set pieces. He was attacking all the time. And this was against Liverpool. Like, this is not against, like, I don't know, one of the lower teams or one of the other newly promoted teams that he knows really well. This is against Liverpool, who are going to be in the hunt for the title this season, and he plays like that. So for me, I wouldn't want to bench him either. So I'm going to be listening to Neil very carefully, because if Bailey's not going to play, then I'm going to bench him and I'm going to play Pereira and Trippier. Otherwise, I'm backwards and forwards on this all the time. And I think I'll probably end up starting Pereira just because the attacking threat is there. What would you do if you had them both? Do you have them both?
I've got Pereira. I wish I had Trippier. I went for Dean instead, didn't I? Which was...
Well, I've got cash as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
This
is why we're both sub 5 million after game week one. These kind of players.
I'm in Villa.
Yeah, I mean, Newcastle were really impressive. It's hard to judge them against Forest. They were really, really poor. But Trippier has got the free kicks. He's got, you know, the attack potential, like you said. I think Newcastle are a good defensive side. We struggle a bit at home as well, Brighton.
You're worse at home than you are away, aren't you?
I mean, it is our first home game of the season, which you would hope would give the players a lift rather than massively, you know, stressing them out. That can kind of come later in the season. So I do think we'll score. I think we'll get one. I've got to stand for a narrow win in this. My dad, if anyone cares about my dad, he's very good at predicting Brighton results. He thinks it's going to be a score draw. So
see, I could see a score draw in this one.
Yeah.
But I do... I would back Trippier to be involved in that.
Well, this is it. I think Pereira was incredibly impressive. And I did a stream earlier in the season with Luke where we were talking about it. We both kind of said, from what we've seen, he doesn't seem that great, like a player. Obviously, it's all relative. He's much better than me, much better than, you know, Premier League standard.
He's definitely better than me. That's sure.
Exactly. He's better than, you know, most. But I hadn't really been too impressed with what I've seen him at United. And, you know, it's very difficult to judge. But it was such an impressive performance from Fulham. And I think the key thing about Pereira in that system is Mitrovic.
Yeah.
Because if he's on set pieces and if he's playing that advanced, he's going to get returns because he's going to set Mitrovic up for chances. Mitrovic's going to set him up for chances. Now, the way Mitrovic holds up the ball and can lay it off, that means Pereira's going to run in. So the question for me is, I think Trippier is a safer option because I think you know what you're going to get with him. You know you're going to get the set pieces. You know you're going to get him attacking. You know you're going to get a good thing. Can Fulham match that intensity they had against Liverpool? Because it couldn't be further down, really, a team like Wolves. Like, they are a struggling team that a lot of people are expecting Fulham to beat after Wolves' first match.
I am. I'm expecting Fulham to win that game. Exactly.
So it's a very different type of game for Fulham. And I think that's the gamble you take. If you think Fulham can reach that level again against Liverpool, you play Pereira. If you are a bit more, if you want to be a bit safer, then you play Trippier. Personally, I'd play Pereira because I always want to go for that potentially bigger haul.
Yeah.
I think his ceiling, as they say, is bigger for Pereira.
It's higher, yeah. And the thing is with Wolves, I look at them and they just look poor. And now they've not got Cody either in that defensive structure. So they've got problems. And I think Fulham, look, if I was Fulham, having just got a draw out of Liverpool, I'd be going into that game all guns blazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wolves,
yeah,
going, so, well, look, if we can get a point from Liverpool, we can get three out of these guys in Wolves. And the fans will be lifted by that. Mitrovic looked fantastic. Like, we had all that conversation, didn't we, in pre-season about is he going to be the Mitrovic of the Championship or is he going to be the Mitrovic of the Premier League last time we saw him? And he very clearly signalled some intent in game week one. And Pereira, like you say, I thought was fantastic. So for me, I think Fulham were the surprise packages of game week one, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see them do really well again in game week two, which then means I don't want to bench the player that I think has got the most creativity amongst that team in terms of route to points.
So it's a very long-winded way of us both saying we play think Pereira. We both bench Trippier, but there's not much in it.
No, and if there's no, there's, I mean, maybe there's someone else you could bench. Like if you've got Dallow, or I don't know, if you've got somebody else that you can bench, then maybe it's worth looking at them, because I actually think both of those options are decent for this week.
Yeah, that's encouraging to hear that, because I'm playing Pereira and it didn't feel great in game week two to be playing a 4.5 million mid. But
I think I'll play him every week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's one of those players we could be benching. Like, you know when Lindstrom came to the fore and it felt really ridiculous to be playing a really cheap budget player every week. But then the returns were fantastic. So, and I there's a chance that Pereira does the same thing, you know? So
good. I like the optimism.
Be positive.
Yep. Simon asks, tempted to have rotating Spurs wingbacks. I am. So I'm guessing that means like a Sessegnon and Perisic double up, right? And then you try and predict which one is going to start each week. That sounds like the worst thing for my mental health ever.
The thing is, you can't predict which one's going to start every week. I mean, you might be able to have a guess, but you're guessing at Conte's genius brain. My concern with doing it, so I think it works in some clubs, but my concern with doing it at Spurs is he's going to put them both on every week.
Yeah, that's it.
So one of them's going to start and the other one's going to come on 60, 70 minutes. And then maybe that happens for a couple of games. So I think Sessegnon will start this week. I think Sessegnon will continue to keep his place. He was brilliant against, I know it was Southampton and they were poor, but he was fantastic. And he made this really interesting comment after the game on one of the Spurs interview channels that he did, where he was talking about how just before the goal that he scored, he missed a run. And he said, in my head, I thought, I can't miss that again, because if I miss the next one, the gaffer's hauling me. So the next one he made and scored. So there is that element of competition there.
Yeah,
there's that element of knowledge in their minds that there's somebody else that's really decent and wants my spot. So I have to be the very best version of me that I can be. And that is something I think Sessegnon has needed, because over the last couple of seasons, he hasn't been great. And every time he's played, I've been like, why? Why are we playing this guy? But this time against Southampton, and yeah, all right, it was against Southampton, but he was impressive. And there was an attitude change in him. And that's come because Perisic is there. He waxes lyrical about Perisic and the learning that he's had since he's arrived at the club. So my feeling is they're going to share minutes. Obviously, that's going to get worse around the Champions League when that kicks in. But I don't think you can predict it. And I think you could end up with a situation where every week you're kind of looking at Sessegnon and Perisic and going, well, who's going to get the 60 minutes? And you'll probably get that wrong 50% of the time, which would stress me out.
Yeah, it's really tricky, because what Perisic owners like myself didn't want was an amazing Sessegnon performance. Because I think there was always that doubt that Sessegnon would play and Perisic wouldn't. Because I think, you know, when Conte said, I wanted to keep faith in the team that got us fourth last season, and, you know, Perisic had that injury, there was enough doubt, you know, around game week one. But my thinking was, Perisic is a Champions League player. He scored in a World Cup final. He knows Conte really well. He's come in to take that spot and take Spurs to the next level. And that is still what I feel is there. Sessegnon isn't that player. I think Sessegnon is a good player.
No, I agree with you.
He's a rotation player, I think, and Perisic is going to be number one choice. But how long do you wait until Perisic becomes number one choice? Mm-hmm. That's the question. So I don't know if we can predict it. I mean, if Sessegnon starts against Chelsea and Spurs win, does that mean Perisic comes in against Wolves in the game that we were wanting for? Not necessarily. I mean, Sessegnon might just carry on playing while Spurs are winning. If Chelsea win, that doesn't necessarily mean that Sessegnon won't play if he plays well. It's too tricky. Yeah.
And it's a fitness thing, right? So Conte's wingbacks they need to be fully fit. If you're going to play in that wingback system for Conte, you need to be peak condition. And I'm not sure that Perisic is there yet. I think he's nearly there, but I don't think he's quite there yet. Which means for me, I think he's going to start Sessegnon against Chelsea. I think Perisic will come on against Chelsea, probably come on for the last half an hour of the game. in a similar way to what we saw against Southampton. But but like you say, if Sessegnon is then brilliant again against Chelsea, if Spurs keep a clean sheet, if he gets more attacking returns, if he's the attacking threat we saw against Southampton again, what does that mean for game week 3? Mm. What happens if he does it again? What does that mean for game week 4? Like, could we end up with multiple rotation going on? Yeah, I mean, we saw Conte use all 5 subs in game week 1. That is going to be a regular thing with Spurs. So you've got to play those positions really carefully and just be mindful of that if you're going to invest in the wingbacks. I want to invest in the Spurs wingbacks, but I am waiting probably until game week 4 to see what's happened over those first 4 weeks to decide what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I mean, if Perisic...
You've got to hold, though, surely.
I think you have to hold, yeah. I think you have to give it 1 week and just assess. Because game week 1, it's really hard to draw conclusions from it. Yes, Sessegnon played well, but maybe Perisic wasn't fit. Maybe there's other reasons. Maybe Perisic comes straight in against Chelsea. I'm not saying he will do. I think Sessegnon probably starts it, but he could do. And then that changes things even more. We just don't really know what's going to happen. So, you know, have 1 more week of data. Let's see. If Spurs win 3-0 and Sessegnon gets another goal and plays really well, I think that's the end of Perisic, that experiment. But we never know what can change in game week 2. So I'm holding for now, and I'll assess.
You have to.
But in answer to the question, I don't want to use 2 defensive spots trying to work out which wing back is going to start and which one isn't.
I think if fully fit, Doherty is the favoured on the other side, though, over Royale. So I think in game week 1, he wasn't fully fit. I think there's less risk of rotation on that side of the pitch. I think there was still... We'll still see Doherty going off and Royale coming on, but my feeling is that Doherty is the preferred on that side. So maybe if you do want to go wing backs, then although less sexy as a pick than going with Perisic, maybe that's an option in a couple of weeks' time when fully there.
Yeah, although Royale played well as well against Southampton. So
he did, but that's I never really trust Royale's final finishing ball, and I think if you're going to be a wing-back successfully in Conte's system, his final ball has got to be much better than it has been in previous seasons.
I am playing Pereira over Perisic this week, just for anyone wondering. I'm happy to leave Perisic for a week. The issue is going to be if he drops in price. That's going to be really hard to stomach. Yeah. But if it happens, it happens. I think we're up to date with Super Chats. So thank you again. You've got to go in 5 minutes, haven't you, Sam? I'll be here until 12. No, not 12, 11.
Oh, my God, if you're going to be here until 12.
I'm not here until 12.
What are you going to do? Who are you going to be talking to? We're left in the chat.
I'm here till 11. So if...
you and Jake?
Yeah.
Just Jake. He's down there.
No.
Okay, so let's go back to the top and take some more questions. Erling asked, no love for Jared Bowen. I think Bowen is an awesome pick this week. Against Forest.
Okay, I love Jared Bowen. I think he's a fantastic player. I thought West Ham were truly awful in game week 1. And that would really worry me going into game week 2. Like I did the official pod yesterday with Mark, and we were talking quite a bit about Nottingham Forest. And I was saying, I wouldn't be surprised if Forest get something out of that game against West Ham.
That's what Mark
said. West Ham. West Ham looked really off it. And I know that they were playing Man City, right? So leave that aside. But if you just watch them, they've got problems at the back. So they're playing Ben Johnson at centre-back, which isn't ideally where they want to be. It's the first time going for Forest of the new season. They lost in game week 1 in a way that they would have been disappointed, because they did deal with Newcastle for a big chunk of that game, and Newcastle were like at them the whole time. So I don't trust West Ham. Yet. I thought Antonio didn't look fully there yet. All right, they didn't get a lot of the ball and he didn't get a lot of service. But Bowen is the best pick. If you're going to go West Ham, Bowen is the best pick. He's a good differential. But I'm not convinced that West Ham win that game.
My counter argument is that defensively, okay, nightmare. I mean, they've sold Diop, which is surprising given that Obonna's out, Aguard, who I keep thinking is Aguero whenever I see him on the list.
I know, definitely
not,
I do too.
Definitely not Aguero at centre-back.
Aguero!
You know, they're still trying to play this 3-at-the-back system, so that means Johnson's coming. I mean, he's not a central defender by any means. So, completely agree, they've got issues. But Forest were really bad. I thought they were really bad. They looked like a team of patched-together players with no time to gel. and there's more signings incoming. I did, yeah. And he, I mean, he agreed, to be fair. I mean, there's, you know, they look really poor. They didn't really offer anything, you know, in any sense. They looked shaky from set pieces. They were shaky defensively. They didn't have a lot going forward. And it's going to take them time to gel. And I do worry for them in the early, you know, in the first kind of 8 to 10 weeks, because if they don't pick up, if they pick up really few points, even when their team does start to gel, it might be too late and they might be kind of cast adrift. So I think this is a really good time to target teams playing Forest. I do agree with you, though. I mean, it's very hard to judge West Ham against Man City, because Man City were...
It is.
They were just so dominant. Great. Like, the way they just won the ball back and the chances they created. Yep. You know, they lost Fabianski as well pretty early, and Areola gives away that penalty kind of straight away. I don't think we can write them off. And the fixtures aren't bad for West Ham. I mean, they've got Forest, they've got Brighton at home, Villa, and then it's Spurs and Chelsea. They're not great, but they're not awful. The problem with Bowen, and we said it pre-season,
He's 8-5.
He's not an easy move from a Mount or someone. He's got to be that 0.5 more. And yeah. I like him as a differential, and you know, I did toy with the idea of putting him in the scout squad for scout, but in the end, I thought there was a couple of other options. If you want to take a punt, I don't mind it, but I can see the question is he being overlooked? And I think yes, but probably rightly so for now.
I would probably agree with that. I think, he is being overlooked, but I think it's probably for the right reasons. I just don't know that you can... Look, he was phenomenal last season, and West Ham were playing really well. And I think West Ham will be good this season. I don't for a minute think that they're going to be bad this season, but I don't think they're there at the moment. I think this season... Last week, starting with Man City, is not great. I think this is a difficult game against Forest. Forest have to now go and get something in front of their home fans. The occasion on Sunday, I think it's on Sunday, is massive. That is a huge thing for Forest. First game back in the Premier League, massive. Like, it's going to be intense being in that stadium.
And we saw it from Bournemouth, right? Everyone had written Bournemouth off, and
I would not be surprised at all if Forest get something from that game. I really wouldn't. And yes, Bowen can get something, because Bowen is a magician. He is the magic in that team, right? He creates stuff, he's attacking, he's great. But I just don't know that West Ham are fully on point yet. Nottingham Forest certainly aren't either, but I do think at home will have that motivation.
Yeah. I mean, you might be right. My feelings are we can't judge West Ham off the back of that, but we can judge Forest more, because City just dominated that game, and West Ham just couldn't get a foothold in it. But Forest just looked bad. Like, they just couldn't pass. Did you see that set piece routine they tried to do, where they all ran at the same time? I don't know. It's just weird. Like, it just looked like a weird patched together team. I didn't like it. Anyway, we've talked way too long about this game. do you need to go? It's 52 past.
I got 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, we've got one more super chat. I haven't noticed this, but Alex H in the chat says, is Walker an issue if Tierney goes to Man City? And it has just been reported on Sky News that Man City are plotting a late swoop to sign Kieran Tierney.
Are they?
What a weird signing.
Where's that come from? I've not heard that.
Yeah, it was posted at 8:32 this morning.
Wow. I mean, look, I don't think... Right, this is me trying to read Pep's mind. The most impossible thing to do in the world. But I don't think that he's that happy with just going through this season with Walker. Because there isn't really a backup either at the minute. It's kind of like Walker, and then what happens if Walker gets injured?
Well, it would have to be Cancelo switching over and then Ake playing at left back, which
he doesn't want to do.
No.
So, you know, basically he needs somebody else in that position. I thought it was going to be Cucurella, and then, but obviously, sorry Az for bringing that up, he's gone to Chelsea. But I think they will have to sign somebody. The question is who. Now, if they sign Tierney, then surely Tierney's, I mean, is so injury prone, but surely he would be first choice. No, if they sign Tierney,
you would think so. I would have thought so, because I think Tierney, a fit Tierney, offers better, probably yeah. more than Walker does now. I mean, Walker's been a great servant to the club, don't get me wrong, but...
Yeah, but he's older now.
Yeah, and... Tierney would add that attacking thrust down the left, and then they can move Cancelo to the right, which is where I think he's probably better. I think his link-up yeah. plays better with Foden and Mahrez on the right. So yeah, I would to answer the question, yeah, I think it definitely affects Walker if
it would massively.
If they sign anyone, I think if they sign any fullback City over the price of about 15 million.
I agree. Exactly. Because
if they sign like a 3 million player, you know, yeah. it's probably going to be one for the future, or it's, you know, just yeah. someone who's going to be in rotation.
Backup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But if they go out and spend some money, then I think it does affect Walker. It's one of the reasons why I didn't want to start with him.
And that's exactly why I didn't, because Lee asked me when game week one was in action, he was like, why did you not go Walker over Edison? Because I've got the double up with Edison and Cancelo. And I was like, well, I just don't trust that Walker's going to be the number one choice in that position for the opening. Even it's not even just for the season. I didn't trust it for the opening few weeks of the season. And I didn't want to be forced into a transfer because I would have my City slots all taken up with a player that then is a rotation risk. So I went with Edison instead, and I don't regret that decision, because I think Cancelo's you want, but Walker, I don't think I would want to risk going for Walker over Cancelo only to then have a situation where Walker gets by somebody who makes him a massive rotation risk, because you're going to be wanting to be invested in that City defence.
Good point from Inspector Goals, which is Luke and Sam's podcast. I'm not sure which one of them it is. It's probably not Luke. He likes his disabled tag. They have signed a fullback already. They have signed an £11 million left back from Anderlecht, 21 years old, considered a development player.
Yeah. Tierney's not a development player. If they signed Tierney, that's different, isn't it?
I mean, if you believe Sky Sports News, they say that the intention is to loan out Sergio Gomez straight away. So... I mean, it'd be weird if they buy this fullback and then they don't buy another fullback and then they loan out the fullback and they just bought.
One.
Yeah, that would be weird. My sense is...
Well, that suggests to me that they know that they're going to sign another fullback.
Well, exactly. I think they have to sign another fullback. I think that is just...
You don't loan out a player that you've just bought in a position you need if you're not planning to buy someone else in that position.
No, exactly. I mean, Haaland filled the void of the striker they didn't have. Phillips has filled the void of Fernandinho and that.
Yeah.
The other one is obviously to sign a fullback if they let Zinchenko go. I would be amazed if they don't sign another fullback in this window.
I would too.
But I would be. I would also be very surprised if it was Tierney, because that seems like a really strange choice.
I'd be surprised if Arsenal wanted to let Tierney go as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess they have got Zinchenko there now, haven't they, at left back? And maybe they are just sick of him being injured all the time. And maybe City think if he's going to be playing less, maybe we need... We can give him less of a... I don't really know. I think Tierney is genuinely one of the best left-backs in the league when he's fully fit.
When fit.
But I wouldn't trust him at a club just because of these fitness records. It's such a shame because he's such a talented player, but just too injury-prone. Just too injury-prone. Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens, I guess. Right, I better go.
You go. I'm going to switch to one screen. I'm going to stand for a bit more.
You stay. Should you stay for a little bit longer? Now, well, I'm not here next week because I'm on holiday.
I'm not here next week either. I'm going camping.
Are you?
So there will be no Q&A next week unless Jenny steps up.
But we will be back the week after, won't we?
Of course.
We'll be back together again. The dream team at Reunited.
The dream team.
For Q&A ahead of game week four.
That's been great. We had 700 people in the chat. We've had some super chats, which is really nice. Loads of questions. I'll stay on for a little bit longer. But obviously, if you're only here for Sam, which you probably are, then probably time to drop off. Let's be honest.
Yeah, you can watch me on Sky Sports News tomorrow, by the way. If you're interested.
Yeah, what time?
10:40.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I'll tune in.
I'll find out what's going on with Tierney, shall I?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Be good. I don't know. I'm really surprised. That's really shocked me. I'm going to go and read about that.
Well, it's just, I wouldn't look too much into it. It's just a Sky Sports rumour.
Good rumour.
It is a good rumour.
I like it.
Yeah, it is an exciting one. Yeah.
All right, I am going.
Cool. See you later. Enjoy.
All right, guys. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Hey, look at that smooth transition into one. If you have enjoyed the stream so far, do subscribe to the channel. Do make sure you like this video. Really appreciate it. My kind of normal plug. Now I'll stand for another 5-10 minutes or so. I don't think there's any more super chats, so I'll just kind of take some at random as we go. Akbar asks, thoughts on Grealish potential given Bernardo's likely departure further enhances in odds in our favourite game, Pep Roulette. Yeah, Grealish is an interesting one. He's genuinely one of my favourite players. I love him. I think this is going to be a big season for him. I think he'll play more. I think we've seen Pep, you know, take a player in their first season, sort of manage them a little bit more than the second season, give them more minutes. He just is a gamble. I mean, Bernardo Silva was a player that was, you know, that is vying for his position. He can play on the left. He can also play in the midfield three as well, which has been good for De Bruyne in previous seasons. Gundogan obviously had the game there in game week one. Sterling's obviously left, so there's obviously less competition. The worry is just with Foden and Alvarez. There's still some players in there that could take Grealish's spot. The worrying thing with Grealish is that he needs to step it up to the next level. And he didn't do it, I don't think, against West Ham. I thought he was all right, but you know, he got praised by Pep, which isn't always the best thing. I think he said like the goal belonged to Grealish or something like that for winning the pass before the penalty. Whenever we hear that, it's kind of a bit like, oh no, why is he feeling the need to big up Grealish when he wasn't really that great in that match? So a bit of a concern. It might just be a bit of a confidence boost for him. You just want to see the Grealish that plays for England, right? And just, you know, take on people, get more involved in the penalty area, play with a bit more freedom. I still think he's a bit kind of worried about misplacing a pass and kind of losing his spot in the side. So he's a wait and see for me. I think he could be a great option for us. But for now, I would probably just wait. XXLMFDXX, which I thought originally was one of those spam accounts, but it's not. It's a question about FPL. Have I screwed up bringing in Saliba over Zinchenko? Well, I really like Saliba. I thought he was excellent in that game. I would never have gone for him game week one because I thought Arteta just doesn't like him at all. But he couldn't have done any more in that match. So I think he's really interesting at 4.5. He's like 80% up to a rise. I think he could go up before the deadline or tomorrow. So, you know, you might want to feel like you could move on him. The issue is really if Tierney doesn't go to City and he comes in and if Tomiyasu's back, the back line could be shaken up a little bit. Zinchenko could move into midfield, for example, which makes him a better option. Which I like at 5.1, I think he is now. That's the issue, he's gone up to that 0.1 bracket. What happens with Saliba when Tomiyasu comes back? Does Ben White replace him? I mean, Ben White hasn't really done anything wrong. It'd be a shame if he just completely didn't play from now on. I think it's Saliba's spot for now, for sure, given his performance in game week one. But there could be problems if his performance levels dip a little bit and then he's got Ben White kind of waiting in the wings as well. Maybe Ben White just carries on at right back, but he's not a natural right back. So I'm not entirely sure that's going to happen. So I'm looking at Saliba, basically. I think I could do something like Perisic down to Saliba and Dean up to Reece James, for example, with two free transfers next week, which I do like the look of. So I want to give it another week. I want to assess how Arsenal look against Leicester at home. Saliba will start in that match. If he looks really confident and assured again, maybe Arsenal keep a clean sheet, then he might be someone that I do get. If I'm picking a player for security, though, right now, if you ask me which one, I would go for Zinchenko. So have you messed up? Right now, I would say no. But in 4 or 5 weeks, you potentially could have done. I'm not expecting huge hauls from Zinchenko. I think his XG at City was really, really low. So unless he's being used in a much more sort of attacking role under Arteta, then he's not going to be chipping in with too many assists or goals. His assist was pretty lucky, let's be honest. So I don't think he's going to be getting huge. So I don't think there's a huge amount in it. So no, I would say that you haven't messed up yet. A lot of people asked me about Perisic and Pereira. I did talk about this in the team reveal video I did yesterday, so check that out. I'm holding on to Perisic because I can play Pereira this week, who I think is a good option, a genuinely a good option. Forget his price. I think Fulham looked good. I think Wolves looked bad, and I think he was the main creator. So he could be 5.5, 6 million. You know, if you're playing one of these daily games or something, Pereira isn't going to be the cheapest player in the game. He's going to be sort of priced highly. So that's the way I try and look at it in these kind of decisions. So I'm happy to play Pereira, save that transfer, potentially deal with Perisic and Dean next week. Of course, I might have to deal with Haaland if he goes absolutely crazy and De Bruyne gets nothing. I think I would be pretty unlucky, though, for De Bruyne to get heavily outscored by Haaland. Again, I think Haaland is the better option out of the two. Don't get me wrong. If I'm picking one, I'd pick Haaland every day. But is there going to be 10, 15 points difference between them in a home match against Bournemouth? I think I'd be pretty unlucky with that. So I'm going to hold him for now. Hopefully, I won't need to address that because it'd be two frees to basically switch De Bruyne to Haaland. Then I'm stuck with Dean and Perisic potentially. So hopefully, I can just hold him for a little bit longer and sort those two issues out a bit later. Loads of people talking about Perisic. Perisic is the big name, isn't he? I wish I hadn't started with him, to be honest. I wish I didn't have this headache. I could have just moved him down to a five, for example. I was looking at so many fives, Trippier, Gabriel, and Zinchenko even, and I ended up going for Dean. But even if I'd gone for two fives, I think it would have been better. And then I could maybe have moved up to Perisic. You just get it in your head that you just really want that player and you just can't shake it. It doesn't matter what you read, what you do, everything, that kind of bias just comes in. So, yeah, a bit of a shame. In fact, the more people told me to sell him, the more stubborn I was about keeping him. So, yeah, not great. I will take one more question. If I can find a good one. They're just all about Perisic. Okay, I'll take Alex H's question about Darwin. If Darwin starts this week with similar impact, is it worth a wildcard soon to replace Salah with him early and spend the funds elsewhere? That is a really interesting question. If Nunes scores another double-digit points against Palace and maybe outscores Salah, we are definitely going to start seeing a shift of Salah to Nunes. If that's the right thing to do, I'm not too sure. I still think it's really, really early to know. I would want data to back it up. And I think that Salah to Nunes transfer, although it's going to be annoying if Nunes is 9.2, 9.3, whatever, you're still going to be saving so much money by dropping down. So I really do think we need to assess for a little bit longer just to see how Salah and Nunes perform in that team. I mean, Salah got, double-digit points and didn't play well, and nor did Liverpool. Nunes came off the bench and got, two goals and that was fine. But, it's United, then it's Bournemouth. I mean, Bournemouth in game week four, if you've already made that switch from Salah to Nunes and then suddenly we work out in game week four that, Salah is still the kind of main man and still the player that we want, it's going to be difficult for you to then get him back, especially if you've wildcarded and spread the funds around. So I think after game week four, that's when it's Newcastle and then Everton. Two good games on paper, but they're not Bournemouth and they're not United the game before. I still think if we've got Salah, you keep him until after game week four. Then you've got 4 weeks of data to work with. You can see what Nunes is like starting in the side, in the team, and then make decisions there. I can understand why people would want to move, quicker on that. But for me, I think you wait for at least game week four. We're all going to be wilding probably game week six, game week seven, game week eight. Anyway, you can make the decision then. I still think Salah is the best captain option in game week three against United, in game week four against Bournemouth, regardless of the impact Nunes has. So my advice is to stick and see. Dee McKinney asked about Bowen. We did talk about Bowen earlier. Sam wasn't convinced at all. She thinks Forest are going to win. I'm the opposite. I think West Ham are going to win that game comfortably. If you've got him, 100% hold him. 100%. There's no way you can sell him. West Ham didn't look great, but it was City. Keep Bowen and definitely play him in this match. He's the player that I wish I really had, other than Haaland. I do wish I had Haaland, but I also do wish I had Bowen as well. I think that's about it. Oh, Sooty 87, worth swapping Son for De Bruyne this week. Yeah, tricky one. I mean, Haaland is by far the best option in that City side. So if you've got him, I do like the double up, but then you're going to want Son back, I'd say, for the matches after. So if you've already got Haaland, I think you probably just keep Son and roll with that. If you haven't got Haaland and you don't want to take the hit, then get, like me, get De Bruyne as your kind of main City asset. But if I already had Haaland, I wouldn't be swapping for something to Bruyne, though, because the fixtures are so nice for Spurs. And he could have had a big haul, to be fair. Right, everyone, thank you so much for joining me for the Q&A. It's great to be doing these again. Thank you for the Super Chats as well. As I said, 50% of all that money goes to Street Child United. I'll be back for the team news with Neil at 3 o'clock. Look out for that. But for now, I will see you all very soon.